The Queen's Jewish Link presents the Jewish Living Podcast, the show that examines the many facets of Orthodox Jewish life. Here's your host, Izzo Zwirin.
You may have seen a viral video recently showing a Frum magician wowing four Major League Baseball players, including the probable best player in the game today, Mike Trout. I wanted to get to the bottom of that story, so this week I invited him on to tell the tale.
Hi, my name is Shlomo Levinger, and I am a magician.
Shlomo will, of course, tell us the inside story of the Mike Trout video, but we'll also discuss some of the other aspects of how magic relates to Judaism, and if I'm lucky, maybe we'll get to see a trick or two. So okay. Shlomo, thank you so much for joining me this week. Kind of blew up in the last couple of days here at the time of recording.
Yeah.
But we'll get all into Mike Trout, which is what people want to talk about. But first, I want to get a little bit of background on you. Sure. How in the world did you get into magic, and to the point where you're basically doing this professionally full time now?
Yeah. So I started this as a hobby when I was about 14. So when I was in ninth grade. I don't know. I was kind of just, you know, messing around on YouTube, looking at different stuff. At that point, I didn't really have any hobbies, to be honest. I enjoy playing sports. I'm a sports guy. So I was always into that. And then, I don't know, I was watching some magic YouTube videos. And this is actually early on in like the magic YouTube days. Like now magic on YouTube is crazy. There's so much on there. But this is like 10 years ago. So there wasn't as much. There was a bunch, but not as much. And I don't know, I saw some videos and I'm like, I think I could do that. And then, tried it out, like learned, you know, a card trick or two. Yeah, that's kind of how it started. It happens to me. I wouldn't say performing, but I was always into like interesting stuff. Like I learned how to juggle. Like I knew how to do, you know, like I dabbled in riding a unicycle, as weird as that is, but I did. And interesting kind of stuff like that. And then magic was like a good balance, I think, between something that's really accessible on a day-to-day basis and something that was just fun to practice.
So at this point in your career, are you designing your own tricks or are you kind of riffing off of what's already out there?
That's a great question. I think there's like a little bit of a, like, I think most people assume that every magician kind of invents his own stuff. And in a way I do. I think it's more of just taking a lot of the stuff that's out there and combining it into my own routine. So I wouldn't say it's so much of like inventing methods because everything's been there, done that, but it's about taking concepts and maybe making it something new or making it fresh, or taking a bunch of concepts, combining them together into one routine. So it's a lot of that. I do invent some of my own stuff occasionally. Like I have one or two things that I'm really proud of that I actually came up with on my own that I've never seen anybody else do. But I would say it's mostly just collaborating everything and trying to make it my own.
Awesome. All right. So let's get into the big ish, the big reason why you became a little bit of a viral sensation. I don't know what, I don't know what viral means these days. I don't know how many views you have, but you guys, you're up to like 15,000 views on YouTube at the time of recording on this Mike Trout video. So, all right, so let's get into this video. Did you get to Mike Trout? How did this whole thing, you're based in New York. Was clearly a game in Los Angeles.
Correct.
Or Anaheim. So what, tell me the background of this story.
Yeah. So, this all actually started probably, I want to say, April 2021, so about 6 months ago, I guess. This is actually really random how this started, but it's a cool story. So I did magic for this really big Instagram influencer. Yeah, so this influencer was in Connecticut. I hit him up. I said, hey, can we do some magic? I actually didn't expect him to respond, but then he messaged me back. He's like, yeah, I'm down. Let's go do some stuff. So I was like, okay, that's crazy. So this guy's name is Bob Menery. He has like a pretty big following on Instagram. So I hit him up. We hung out for a little bit. We did some magic. He posted a bunch of my stuff on his story. He loved it. It happens to be, he got more famous after I met him because he started doing a podcast on YouTube that got really popular. So whatever. But so he's a nice guy. So I did some magic with him. He posted me on his Instagram story a bunch. And basically, Mike Trout follows him. Mike Trout follows him. So I guess Mike Trout saw my stuff on his Instagram story and he's like, whoa. And I guess he likes Magic. So he's like, whoa, this kid's good. So he started following me. I actually didn't notice, by the way, that he followed me till probably like a day or two later, because the influx of followers from just that one thing was like, I got like 1,000 followers in a day.
Awesome.
Like it just kept notification, kept updating. And I didn't even notice, like it just flew into the radar. And then the next day, like I was like looking through the followers and I was like, is that the real Mike Trout?
Is that Mike Trout?
So I clicked on it and it was him. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. So that was that. Like a day or two probably go by and I'm like, I got to do something about this, because this is, you know, like, okay, he follows me. Cool. Like, but like, what am I going to get out of this? So let's try to make some moves here. So I basically, I DM'd him and I said, because the way that DMs work, if for those of you who are not familiar, if someone with a blue check who's verified, which means that they're famous, follows you, you can DM them and they'll see your DM. If they don't follow you, your message goes to a completely separate folder, which they'll probably never look at. So once he followed me, I already had a one up where I can message him and he would see my message, if that makes any sense. So I DM'd him and I said, hey, big fan. I'm a big fan. I appreciate the follow. If you ever need a magician, or if you ever want to see some stuff, let me know. I'm always down, right? So then he like messaged me back like pretty much right away. He's like, yo, your stuff's crazy. I love your stuff. It's awesome. I was like, whoa, like that's awesome. That's
this
crazy.
Is like the best baseball player in the world.
Yeah. I was like, I don't even know what's happening right now, but here I can show you the initial text that I sent him. I'll read it word for word. I'll pull it up here. Yeah. I said, hey, I really appreciate the follow. I'm a big fan. If you ever need incredible magic, seriously, feel free to reach out anytime. But, basically, yes. And he's like, dude, love your stuff. We'll let you know. Some of the stuff is insane. Haha. So I was like, yo, thanks so much. Appreciate that. Blah, blah, blah. Fine. And then I guess fast forward now to June. This is June. I got to look at the exact date. June 29th, 2021. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim were playing the New York Yankees in New York. So I said to myself, let me just message Trout, because he was hurt all year. He got hurt earlier in the year. He didn't play all year, basically. And at that point, I didn't know if he was traveling with the team, because a lot of times if they're hurt, they don't travel with the team.
Right.
I wasn't sure if he was or not. So I messaged him. I said, hey, I don't know if you're traveling with the team or not, but you know, if you are, I would love to come to Yankee Stadium and say hi to you. So he messaged me back. He's like, hey, I'm still in Cali. I wish, but you know, I'm not going to be in New York. But then he's like, you know what? He's like, if you ever come out to LA, hit me up and we'll make something happen. So I was like, okay, awesome. And then he's like, yeah, try to get you in the clubhouse. Well, like, I know a bunch of guys want to see some stuff. So I was like, oh my God, this is crazy. So yeah, it was already getting wild. It was getting wild. So I told him, I said, hey, let me look at some dates when I'm available. Cause again, this was in the summer. So I do a crazy amount of shows in the summer. So it's not like I can just go to LA for a week in the middle of the summer. I have bookings, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know, it's Mike Trout. I'm going to get up and go, but you know, I have bookings that
you have to work around.
I can't just,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, look, let me look at your homestands. Let me look at my schedule. Let's figure something out. So I ended up figuring out that the best week to go would be end of August. Which worked out perfectly because the Yankees, I'm a Yankee fan, the Yankees were actually playing in Anaheim that week. So I was like, this is perfect. So I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to be there from this date to this date. Let's figure this out. So he's like, okay, awesome. Fine. So I was all pumped. I was like, okay, this is going to be great. It gets closer to the date. He messages me. He's like, hey, where the team cracked down on COVID restrictions because of like the Delta and California was getting bad. So they were like, they're cracking down. He's like, I'm still trying to work on this, but I don't know if it's going to end up happening. We'll figure something out, whatever, fine. So I was still going to LA. I was like, I'm going to LA regardless. Like, you know, we'll figure this out, whatever. If it happens, it happens. If not, not. It, you know, I will make it happen a different time if not. So yeah, so I go to LA. And at this point, when I went to LA, he told me that he would get me tickets to the game. Now, he told me to get me tickets to the game, but I didn't even know for sure that I was going to get to hang out with him or do anything with him. It was still up in the air. But I knew he told me he would get me tickets. So I was like, okay, at least that, at least I'll go say hi to him. I'll start this relationship because, yeah, it's still pretty cool. So he gets me ticket. We go to LA. He gets me tickets. They pop up on my MLB ballpark app. Good seats. I was all pumped. We go to the game. I bring my stuff just in case. Like, I had the magic that I was going to perform with me regardless, because I knew just in case, maybe, you know, he'll, maybe literally exactly what happened would happen. Like, I was hoping for something along those lines. So I end up going to the game. And this is funny because this is at the game. Okay. This is at the game. You see this in the video. I text him, I message him on Instagram and I say, hey, I got the tickets. I'm here. And I sent him a picture of where I was at. He's like, awesome. Love it. Great. And then I'm not even kidding. This is maybe 10 minutes before the game starts. Like, I think they even played the national anthem already. Like, this is like literally right before the game. He goes, a couple guys want to see some stuff after the game. Can you make that happen? I was like, yes, of course. Right.
That's the whole reason I'm here, Mike.
Yeah. I was so pumped. I was like, yeah, of course. And he's like, yeah, some of these guys don't believe it. I'm like, all right, let's do it. He's like, yeah, after the game, players parking lot, I'll get you in. We'll make it happen. So I was like, okay, sick.
Right. So you can't get to the game, clubhouse, like, but you can get to the players parking lot.
Right. Meaning it wasn't going to be like an official thing, but he said, you know, we'll just hang out outside after the game. So I was all pumped. I was pretty nervous. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was sitting there like the whole game, like I was trying to enjoy the game, but I'm like, in my head, I'm like, dang, this is crazy. Like, I hope this goes well. Like,
I saw you did a trick for the Ducks goalie also.
Yeah, exactly. Which is funny. That was before I even knew I was going to end up doing magic for him, which is crazy. Cause like, I was just pregame. I just went early just cause why not? Maybe, you know, maybe he wants to see something before the game. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen. So I went pretty early. We got to our seats, I don't know, easily an hour and a half before the game. Watched batting practice. I got to say hi to Ducks goalie. That was cool.
Yeah. By the way, that was maybe the first instance I've ever seen of close up long distance magic.
Yeah, exactly. I did like a card change for him and he was like, whoa, what the heck? Like, how that was like, he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it for sure. And then actually he was sitting in our section during the game. So I went back over to him and he was like, yo, that was awesome. That was really cool. So that was pretty funny. The section we were sitting in actually was like, when anybody who works or plays for the team gets tickets for people, like if a team gets people tickets, that's the section they put you in. So like, I guess
family, right behind the home dugout. Makes sense.
Yeah. It was like in between the dugout and the home plate. They were like solid seats.
I've never had seats like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny actually, like in Anaheim, like in Yankee Stadium, they have the Legend Suites, which is like really VIP seats. Here they don't have that. It's just regular seats all the way down.
Right.
Which I guess they're just more expensive. I don't know. But basically, so where was I? Yeah. So during the game, I'm trying to enjoy the game. It happens to be a great game. This is like a 9-8 game. Like the Angels won like 9-8. There was like a bunch of home runs. Stanton hit a bomb. Otani hit a home run. There was a lot going on in this game. I was just trying to enjoy myself, but like the whole time in the back of my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I didn't know what was going to happen. We had some good food. We brought it from LA.
Who's with you at this point?
I brought my brother and I had a friend of mine who was in LA. He's from Miami, Shmuel Palgon. You know Shmuel, right? So he lives in Miami. He was in LA at the time. So he tagged along. I'm friendly with him. So he came, and my brother David, who I brought with me specifically to film, because I knew that if something happened, we're obviously going to make a video out of it. So,
right. Smart.
Brought him with me to film. Yeah. And I specifically brought him to film. Like, I have my own stuff. I have my own equipment. That was that. I paid for his whole trip, basically. Like, that was the deal. I was like, listen, if you come out and you just film for me, it's on me. Let's go. So he was more than down, obviously. So we went. And then basically during the game, I'm like, I bought a jersey, actually. I bought a Trout jersey from the team store. And I was like, listen, if I meet him, I'll just have him sign it. I actually have it right here. I'll show it to you after. I have a signed Trout jersey framed in my room, which is kind of cool. But basically, yeah. So after the game, I'll just quicken this up. This is all in the video. You can see it. After the game, he told me where to go. We went there. We waited there for maybe like 10 minutes. Texted me. He's like, yeah, I'm coming. And then we met him and he brought us into the players parking lot. And then he brought Dexter Fowler with him. Justin Upton came. That was like the initial crew.
Dexter. So yeah. Mike Trout, probably the best or second best baseball player in the league. And
Mike Trout, undoubtedly the best baseball player on the planet. Like, I think everyone would probably agree to that.
It's either him or Otani.
Right. Well, Otani won MVP this year, but he hasn't been doing it long enough. Trout's been doing this for 10 years. He's only 30 years old, which is crazy. He's 30, and he's won three MVPs. The guy is in every single All-Star game.
Right.
He's very much like
a household name type of a player.
He is. Yes. But the thing is with baseball, this is actually kind of crazy. Like, baseball has horrible marketing. Horrible marketing. True. So they don't market their players well at all. Like, in the NBA, you got LeBron. Like, everyone knows LeBron. Like, in football, you got Tom Brady. Everyone knows Tom Brady.
Right. These people transcend their sport. Baseball doesn't really have somebody like that.
Yeah. If Mike Trout walked down the street, most people wouldn't know who he was.
Right.
Which is crazy because he's the best player in the league. Like, he is the best.
Right. But these other guys, Dexter Fowler and BJ Upton, these guys are very, very good. Don't get me wrong. They're not on the Trout level. These guys are
correct.
Probably at the tail end of their career.
Yeah. So Dexter Fowler won a World Series with the Cubs in 2016. And Justin Upton, not BJ Upton. Justin Upton. He's like a lifelong angel, pretty much. He had a really good career, underrated career. So he's been a four-time All-Star, I think. Good player, good solid players. So I did a bunch of stuff for them. They were loving it. Again, this is all
video. You can all see the video. Yes, they're very good.
The reactions are insane.
They're genuine because you could tell athletes that they're not actors.
Correct. These guys are loving it. They're loving it. And then somewhere in the middle, Anthony Rizzo shows up.
Now, Anthony Rizzo is a Yankee.
So Anthony Rizzo is a Yankee who they were playing the Yankees. So he was there at he was in Anaheim at the time. He was at the game. Obviously, he played in the game. Actually, he was actually the only one of those four guys that played in that game because all three of those guys were hurt at the time. At the same time, all three of them. And Rizzo was the only one who played.
So that's interesting
in the game,
to me. Forget the magic for a second. Forget you. But it's interesting to me that, like, when we're watching a game, we're like, okay, then this team, the game ends. This team goes their way. This team goes their way. No, they all exit through the same parking lot. They all go through the same tunnels. The guys are all friends with each other because Mike Trout is the one who calls Anthony Rizzo over to come. And so that was just like a interesting little factoid that stuck out of my mind.
Yeah, I mean, so it happens to be Rizzo is he happens to be a fan of Magic. I was talking with him off camera. He's a fan of Magic. He loves Magic. He dabbles a little bit. Like, I don't think he actually does it, but like he knows some stuff. He's really good friends with Trout from the offseason. Like, I think they've even trained together in the past. And then he's also really good friends with Dexter Fowler. They won the World Series together in 2016 with the Cubs. So that's that connection there. Okay. So they're all buddies.
All right, so we got the background to the story. I want to ask a couple of questions about this video. And then I want to get to some other things that are please, weighing on me. All right.
Absolutely.
So first of all, anybody tell you that you could be like a younger, less in shape Mike Trout? Like, maybe his brother?
Yeah, I've gotten that a lot, actually. Yeah, if I put on the Angels cap, you can't tell the difference.
It looked like you guys could be related. Like, oh, maybe he's a cousin or something.
Listen, you never know.
I also like the when Anthony Rizzo asked you if you're based in Vegas, you're like, no, New York. Hire me for something, Anthony Rizzo.
Exactly. That was my thought process. I'm like, bro, I'm in New York. Like, we'll hang out. Let's hang out. You know, like, no,
easy, cheap thing for you to do, and I'm glad you did it.
He didn't know who I was. I mean, I wasn't in touch with him at all. I was in touch with Trout. So, like, I technically could have came from anywhere, you know? Like, right, so in his mind, the fact that he even said Vegas to me is pretty cool, because that means his mind I was good enough level. Which is crazy. Yeah.
All right. And the last thing that I wanted to point out is that you did a trick, and I don't remember which trick exactly it was, but you had one of them trying to reach into your pocket to pull out what he thought was like was going to reveal the trick. And then you went into your pocket and pulled out what he thought and it completely completely messed up his line of thinking. Let me ask you a question on that particular trick, and people can go back and watch the video. Have people tried doing that to you before? Were they like, try to find out what the trick is?
He was so annoyed that I just kept getting them and just kept rocking them. Like, he was at that point, that was like towards the end. He was so fed up. He's like, God dang it. Like, I gotta figure this out. You know? So, it was fun. It made the video really good. Like, even Rizzo at times was like, oh, you put it over there. Or like, you did this. He was like trying to call me out a little bit, not much, but a drop. And if anything, it's funny. Like, I just kind of just went with it. And like, there was one, I don't know if you noticed this. I don't think most people noticed this, but this is actually a cool little thing that happened. When I was doing that rubber band trick, the next phase in the routine that I was going to do was exactly what I did, but he's just like, oh, can you put it through both of them now? And I was like, all right, fine, if you want me to. And I was going to do that anyway. So it was cool, because he's like, he literally asked me to do what the next phase of the routine was, and it made it look 10 times better. It made it just improv. Look like it was impromptu.
That's amazing.
Exactly. But yeah.
I just want to bring up one more thing. I think this is also very important. At the end of the video, and this has been brought up to me a few times, actually, by different people, and or by Finer. You know Rabbi Finer?
I don't know.
From the White Show? So he's of the White Show. Yeah. So Rabbi Finer. So Rabbi Finer, a couple people texted me, in his Shabbos drasha this past Shabbos, he actually brought up my video, and he was talking about how the whole concept was how you should have a curse of Hashem, and you have to thank Hashem, leaving out the movement of thank you Hashem, just not necessarily going down that path, but meaning just in general, like noticing Hashem in your life and just being there and understanding that, like, everything comes from him, and every step you take is guided by Hashem, and he has the best interest for you. And in the most real moment possible, going back to Rabbi Finer, so he was saying in his speech how at the end of my video, like, I was saying how, you know, if you work for it, you'll get it, and you have to thank Hashem. And like, I thanked Hashem, and I said, thank you, Hashem, like, before the end of the video. And he loved that. And he was saying how it's a big Kiddush Hashem because, you see that, you know, it, and I really felt that way, like, in the moment, even though the camera was rolling, like, you clearly see in the video that I'm in, like, a little bit of a vulnerable state. Like, I just did one of the coolest, I had one of the coolest experiences ever. And I'm just talking my thoughts, and I'm literally talking to the camera. And there was a lot that we cut out of that, actually. Like, there was so much that I just, like, emotions, like, just spilled out. Like, I had a lot to say, and I was just talking, whatever. Just in the moment, I think, and this is not even like just to my own horn, but I think that it's just important to realize in moments like that, that it's not necessarily me that's making this happen. And it is Hashem, and he's guiding us and putting us in those situations to make, you know, to make a Kiddush Hashem and to make the right thing happen. So I think it's very cool, even for myself, when I watch back the video, to see myself in that moment and to see myself in that situation. And I know that I had the right mindset, and I was like, whoa, okay. You know, like that, like, that I'm proud of myself that I was able to think that way at the moment. So I think that's also important, just like to try be in that state when, you know, even on the smallest level, like when if you're sitting in traffic, or if you're driving around the block and you find a really good parking spot, like, really quickly, you know, just in your head, just, you know, just think Hashem, say, wow, like that's awesome, you know, like, or like even these small things, like, on a day-to-day basis. I think it's just important to just consistently realize that, and then that will translate over into your life, and you'll see a big difference. So I think that's very important.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal message. All right. So I'm going to let people go and watch the video. We're not going to talk so much more about that, because that was just...
Yeah. By the way, if you're listening right now and you're listening to this podcast, please just pause the podcast, go watch the video, and then come back, because none of this will make sense unless you actually see the video.
We'll link to the YouTube video in the show notes. You can literally just tap on it or click it, depending on where you're watching this or listening to this, and you can go straight to that video. Exactly. It's an investment. It's a 25 minute video, but I think the magic starts at around
it's worth it mark.
Yeah, so you can watch the recap of the game, but the 13 minute mark is around where the magic starts. All right, let me talk to you about a couple of other things. First of all, this is the Jewish Living Podcast. You are a From Jew, which is how you got onto this show to begin with. Listen, I'm not Mike Trout, but I have a little bit of a different following. Have people ever asked you about the halachic issues of doing magic?
Yeah, so it comes up from time to time. I think that the main thing that people have to realize is that obviously it's not real, because, like, put it this way, like, if I was doing real magic, like, I wouldn't be doing card tricks, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, let's play, right? Like, if I could do real magic, like, why am I changing a 6 to an 8? Yeah, like you know, so I think it's kind of just self-explanatory in that sense of, you know, I'm taking a coin and making it disappear. Like, if exactly. I could do real magic, it would be way better than that. But yeah, I mean, it comes up from time to time, especially, yeah, no, people want to know. People are always interested. Like, if someone hires me for a show, occasionally, you know, they'll say, okay, you know, like, what type of stuff are you doing? You know, what's going on over here? And I just tell them, I say, look, you know, it's sleight of hand, it's illusion. There's a lot of stuff that go into it. I tell them it's a kind of like practicing anything. Like, if you learn how to play guitar, you got to practice it, and then you get better at it, and you get better at it. The thing with magic, though, that's different, is just that the whole point is to fool you. So that's why people just get like, people can't understand how it works. So they think that, oh, there has to be something else there, which,
right, there is a,
I guess, kind of makes sense. But right, but that's the point of it. It's just a bunch of, it's basically, to put it into three categories, it's just sleight of hand, illusion, and outside the box thinking to create this one, to create this performance that seems absolutely crazy. Like, that's basically what it is.
All so, right.
And I don't claim to have any powers. I don't claim to do any, you know, I don't claim to know, you know, to be able, even if I do a mind reading trick, which I'll show you, we'll do something with that soon. But yeah, I'll try to read your mind through the screen, which is crazy. Even something like that, which, by the way, you're going to say to yourself, there's no way that's a trick. It's a trick. I'm not going to get into how it works, but
yeah, that would ruin
if you know the method. Correct. If you know the method, you can learn how to do it yourself. And
I think
practicing.
I think down, so. Generally, the way that we all view magic is we want to know how the trick is done, but really we don't want to know how the trick is done. We kind of like the idea of being able to be fooled.
You don't want to know. You don't want to know, because when you know, it makes it worse. It just does. It just makes it worse. You don't want to know.
All right.
So, even for me now, by the way, the times when I see magic and like the times when I see magic and it fools me, I savor those, because I'm just like, doesn't happen that often. So
I'm actually going to ask you about that later. I have one more halachic question.
For sure.
That's performing on Shabbos. Sure. Is there anything that you can not, like, part of your regular repertoire? First of all, do you perform on Shabbos? And second of all, is there anything that you have to modify because it's Shabbos?
Yeah, so I do Shabbos, and I do like bar mitzvahs, Shabbos bar mitzvahs. Right. I used to do them more. I don't do them so much anymore because, thank God, I'm really busy during the week with performances and shows and stuff. So
you don't need
my Shabbos are, and it's also, it's like, I like having Shabbos just to obviously relax and just take that time off.
All right.
But listen, if you make it worth my while, I'll work on Shabbos. obviously, you're obviously not paying me for the work on Shabbos.
There
but,
you go.
I do Shabbos, and they're awesome because it actually provides entertainment when it's very hard to have entertainment on Shabbos besides for like singing or, you know, exactly, whatever. So there's a lot of stuff in my repertoire that I can't do, obviously. If it has anything to do with money or writing down or any books, so it's just not happening. But there's tons of card stuff. I have special things that I specifically do on Shabbos that I know works really great. Mm-hmm. I have like my specific things that I'll use. Whether it's, you know, if it's, let's say, instead of a coin, I'll use a poker chip, or I'll use some rubber bands. I'll use some cards. There's a lot of stuff with cards. There's just other Rubik's cubes, and just there's a lot that you could use. So
yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
I remember attending a bar mitzvah on Shabbos. Maybe 15 years ago, and there was a magician there, and he had a trick that ended up revealing what your card was if he mixed the cards together, and on the side of the deck would reveal the card, the name, it would spell out the card. And I thought,
right,
I don't know if that's a Shabbos trick or not. Like, I know you're not doing your other tricks.
Yeah, obviously. I do know that trick. That trick is called unshuffled.
Yes,
it's a good trick. It's a really good trick, actually. and it's not something that I would do on Shabbos.
All right, I was just curious about that one.
I'm not sure. It's a good question, though. But basically, yeah, it is. You're not actually writing, but you're making words.
Exactly.
You're making words. Yeah, kind of without writing.
All right, so that's my Jewish section. I want to ask you some magic specific questions. So first of all, mm-hmm. obvious, who are the magicians that you look up to? Who are the ones that you're like, I want to be able to be that good. I want to model myself after that guy or those guys.
Yeah, so actually, there's a few people off the bat. I just have to shout out David Blaine because he took magic off the stage, meaning he took magic from being this only thing that you can do in a theater or only thing that you can see at a show, and kind of took it to the streets of New York City with his early magic specials, where he used to go out in the street and just perform for random people and get really good reactions. And I appreciate that because I think magic is an everyday thing. I don't think magic is something that should be kept on a stage. I think it's close up magic, especially is of the best magic that you can see. So when it's in right in there in your hands and you're doing that out in the street with nothing, with no, you know, with very limited, you're not in a specific stage or on a specific, or you know, it's literally it's so organic. I think that's some of the best form of magic. So David Blaine for sure because of that. He's also crazy, so he always takes it to the next level. So David Blaine for sure. And then there's I would say two or three more other magicians. I don't think you would have heard of any of that. Oh, actually, there's one guy, his name is David Williamson. He's probably one of my favorite magicians. I don't think anybody would have heard of him, but if you get a chance, go look him up. He's awesome. He's just a really awesome, just good personality.
Okay.
I really like his stuff. And he's of the best magicians. Actually, like if you ask a magician, he'll be in everybody's top five because he's just the best. And then I would say really my favorite out of all of these guys is a guy, and this is an unpopular opinion because most magicians wouldn't say this because he's not like the best sleight of hand guy or the best this or the best that. But in my opinion, he's my favorite magician to watch. And his name is Justin Willman. There is a show on Netflix that he has out now called Magic for Humans, which is a really awesome show. But I've been watching this guy's stuff for 10 years. I've seen him live multiple times, and his performance, his personality on stage and the way that he takes magic and makes it cool and just makes it different. I love his style. So he's somebody I kind of like.
So for those magic fans out there, you now have your marching orders. Here are your magicians to go check out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to give out one more shout out here. And this is to a guy who helped mentor me, actually. He's not a well-known magician. He doesn't do this as a business or he's not a performer, but he does this as a hobby. And he actually co-produces a show in the Magic Castle in LA. He's behind the scenes a bunch of magic. His name is Yehuda Rausch. He's also a Frum guy. Obviously over the years, developing magic, just helping me just with different stuff. So I can give a shout out to him as well.
All right. Phenomenal. All right, we have our several to look up. My favorite magic show that's available on TV, on Netflix or whatever is Penn & Teller's Fool Us. My question for you, I'm sure you've seen the show. When you're watching the show, do you know the trick?
It's funny. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes they'll get fooled and I'll be like, what? Like that didn't fool me at all. And sometimes... Right. They'll not be fooled and I'll be like that completely got me. So it honestly, like I'm obviously fooled but you know more than they are, obviously, because they're people go on there to try to fool them. So people are coming out with the craziest, most original stuff to try to do, and some of it I'll know, like some of it I'll be like, oh, like okay, I'm pretty sure I know what he did. And then they'll take their guess and they'll say, oh, we think you did this. And I'll usually understand what they're saying.
Right.
By the way, because they talk in magic code. They don't actually say the method, but I'll usually understand what they mean. And sometimes I'll be right. I'll be like, oh, I saw that. There you go. Like, so
for those who don't understand, show,
it's a pretty cool show. They're
Penn and Teller have a show where they have magicians come on, and the goal is for Penn and Teller to be able to tell the person on stage what it is that they did, and if they can't, then they win the prize of a trophy, and then I think they get to open for them.
They get a trophy, yes.
All right.
In Vegas, they do get to open for them.
All right, I can't have a magician on my show without seeing a trick. Now this is going to be a little bit tricky. So one of the reasons that it took me so long to have you on the show, you were one of our first on our original ideas board for having somebody on the show. You were on there, but I was like, oh, but it's a magician. What's a magician going to be able to do on an audio podcast?
Exactly.
So do you have any?
You tricks? Guys. Yeah, no, I was about to say that they're in for a treat because I do have something that's going to be audio.
Oh, interesting. An audio.
Yeah.
A good for audio trick. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna read your mind over this podcast, which is crazy. For all of you at home, just heads up. Like, we didn't plan this out. Like, this is not some, you don't know what's about to happen.
I have no clue what's about to happen.
Okay, good. And I'll pay you later for saying that. Thank you.
And I'll also point out that I've always wanted to be the volunteer. Like, okay, I've never in my life been the volunteer because I never trusted anybody else. Like, oh, that guy's part of the show. That guy.
Perfect.
So I've never been in this position before.
Amazing. Okay. So here's what we'll do. I'm not near you right now. Like, we're not in the same room for those of you who are just, you don't realize that we're not in the same room. We're doing this over Zoom. But what's cool is that, like, if you were in the same room as me, what I could technically do is I can hand you, let's say, a book, and I can tell you, go through the book, find a word in the book. I'll tell you what word you're thinking of. Which is a pretty cool trick, and a lot of mentalists do something similar. Now, there's a reason actually why they use a book instead of, let's say, asking you to think of anything in the world and telling you what you're thinking. Because if they can actually read your mind, right, why can't they just tell you what you're thinking? So there's a reason why they use the book, and it could honestly be any book, but the reason is this. They have to know what the odds of them getting it correct are. Meaning, if the book has 1,000 pages and there's 100 words on each page, that means one single word telling you one single word in the book would be a 1 in 100,000 chance of them getting it right. That actually helps them get the word. It's hard to explain how, but it does. So here's what I need from you. I can't hand you a book here. So what I need you to do is this. Do you have your phone on you?
I do.
You do. Okay. Pull out your phone. Now, every phone has tons of words on that, especially on the internet. So what I want you to do is this. Before you do anything, just off the top of your head, because I want to see where you're at with this. How many articles would you say there are on Wikipedia, just on the website Wikipedia?
Hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of millions. Okay. It is actually less than that. Okay. It's over a million, but I don't know the exact number myself because that number changes every day, right? Meaning right. You can write your own article on Wikipedia. The number will change. The number can be changing right now. So what I want you to do is this. I want you to actually Google that. Can you Google how many articles are there on Wikipedia? And I want you to tell everyone in the listening audience, how many
articles on
Wikipedia?
Wikipedia.
Yeah, and do me a favor, when you get there, before you see the number, can you scroll down a little bit? There should be, I think it should be called wikicount.net. It should be like one of the first links.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to give you actually, that's Wikipedia's official counter. That will give you a live count of the articles that are on there right now. And that number is what?
That number is 6,412,495.
495. So I'm doing this actually on my calculator on my phone right now. So 6,412,495. Now, if I told you a single article, that's a 1 in 6 million chance. But I want to make this crazier than that. So stay on that page. Right. I'm going to multiply this by the average number of words per article, which will tell me basically how many words there are on Wikipedia. So not just the amount of articles, this will tell me how many words there are on the entire Wikipedia. It should say somewhere there with an average of, what is it?
With 1,299, so 1,299.
So 1,299, stay on that page again, stay there. So times 1,299, if you're doing the math at home, that equals 8,329,831,005. You can do that yourself on your calculator at home if you're following along. So if I told you a single word on Wikipedia, that would be a 1 in 8 billion chance of me getting that right. So here's what I want from you. Do you see, there should be a link there. It should say visit Wikipedia. Do you see that?
Yep.
Okay. When you get there, when it takes you to Wikipedia, what I want you to do is this. I want you see the search bar on the top right of Wikipedia?
Yep.
Okay. I want you to think of anything in the world. This could be literally anything. Try to pick something though that would have an article on Wikipedia. Does that make sense? Meaning, if it's something like super, super random, that's not going to have an article, it's going to be a lot harder for me to get.
Okay.
But try to pick something that would potentially have an article on Wikipedia and search it up, pull up the article for whatever it is. And I want you to focus on that. So let me know when you do have something. Don't tell me what it is, obviously, because I'm going to try to read your mind here and see if I can tap into what what that is. Right. Let me know when you do have something.
I have something.
Oh, you have something. Okay, that was pretty quick. That was good. Okay, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to just focus on this, whatever this is right now. And actually, you know what? I'm gonna focus in on you here. I'm gonna look at you for a second. Can you look at me? Good, good, good. Think of whatever this is. Now, this could be, you could have went a few routes here. And again, there's no way I can know what this is. Literally impossible. We're not even in the same room.
We're not in the same county.
I'm going to say off the bat, this is probably, I want to say either a person or a place, because I feel like those are the easiest routes that most people will go towards. I'm also going to say that this is something that you've recently, tell me if I'm wrong here. This is something you were recently looking into, or not looking into, but you had to do research on something and this kind of came up somehow. In something that you were looking at. I'm not sure what it was, but I'm going to say that this is a place. Good. I want you to focus on that place. That place is that, be honest with me. I'm getting some, okay. Tell me if I'm right here. This, you thought of something else first and then you kind of changed your mind last second and you're like, all right, I'm going to go with this because it's a little bit more just general. I'm going to say, this is a place. I'm going to say that this place Sri Lanka?
Yeah, that's insane.
Is that what you had?
Yes.
That's it. Okay, you know what? I'll take this one.
That's nuts.
we didn't plan this out. This is real. This is no jokes. No, I'll take this one step further. Can you do me a favor?
That's insane.
Can you do me a favor? I'll take this one step further because that was a 1 in 6 million chance. I want to put this into a 1 in 9 billion chance or 8 billion chance. I don't remember what it was. Can you do me a favor? Can you go through the article? Do you have that article up there somewhere?
Yep.
Go through the article. I want you to find the word in the article that's maybe 7, 8, 9, 10 letters long. So a bigger word. Just make it more exciting for the people listening at home. It doesn't have to be a high vocabulary word. Just something with a bunch of letters and make it harder for me. Right. Let me know when you have a word.
Yeah.
Okay. So this, you just looked at a word. Random word. You could pick that. You could have picked anything. This, think of the first letter. Just that first letter. You have a first letter?
Yep.
Good. Make it super clear. I'm getting maybe... that's like an R maybe? Is that an R, the first letter?
Nope.
It's really not. What is audit? Just the first letter. What is the first letter?
E.
It's an E. Okay. E. Interesting. Okay. I was getting maybe like an R, which is, I don't know why. No, just make the second letter really clear. E. E, the second letter. That looks like a Ooh, what is that? Hold on. E. This is tough. This is much tougher because you're just thinking of this. You just looked at it. I'm gonna say E. E. Hold on. I actually don't know what this is. Don't tell me the word. I'm going to see if I can get it, though.
All right.
E. No, yeah, I'm going to. E. Huh. Interesting. E. Is this? I'm actually not sure. I'm not sure. All right. I guess we'll get Scott. I don't know what it is.
I got the magician. Amazing.
No, it's good. It's
actually,
all good.
You got Sri Lanka. That was amazing.
But... Yeah. Yeah. That is true. That is true.
Should I tell you what the word is?
No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. I'm going to see if I can get it while we talk more. I'm going to see if I can pick up on it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I guess if that's the method.
Yeah, no, I'm going to see if I can pick up on it as we go, because you just looked at this word. Like, it's hard for me. It's kind of hard for me to get. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
All right.
Let me ask you a question while you're trying to figure that out.
Can I try one more time, actually?
Yeah.
I want you to do me a favor. Can you focus on that second letter? Like, I'll be honest, I wasn't picking up much. I want you to really focus on it. Just like make it really clear in your head. Clear everything else out of your head.
Okay. Not much in there anyway.
That was good. That's an F. That's good. Clear. Good. E-F. 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 E-F-F. Is the word Oh, that's much better. Is the word, see, I wasn't getting this originally. Is the word effectively?
It is effectively.
That is the word. There we go. Okay, I'm happy I was able to find out, like, actually, because I wasn't sure at first. And then I was thinking, like, in my head originally, I had something along the lines of, like embark or, like, emissions. Or I wasn't even sure what it was, but I knew there was, like, a double letter there maybe. I wasn't sure exactly. Mm. So happy I was able to get that.
That's now, good. Let me ask you a question. You knew initially that I picked a different page and then switched it. That was the first question you asked me.
Yeah.
Do you know what the first page that I thought of was, or is that not, is that too hard?
No, so I was, yeah, I don't actually know what it is. I was just getting that it wasn't your first choice. I wasn't sure exactly. But yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah, there you go.
Very Thank impressive. You. Hopefully we
it's can good for that. The
that's a video yeah. that maybe you could put on our YouTube page and our Twitter page. We'll see how it works.
Yeah, we'll, all right.
That was very cool. The I want to give you a chance to plug a bunch of your things. So
yeah, please.
Easiest thing. First of all, your YouTube channel that yes. has probably seen a nice bump of late, and we'll see if we can give it a little.
Yeah. Bit more. By the way, guys, if you're listening to this, please go subscribe to my YouTube channel because I'll tell you why. I was looking at the analytics the other day. 94% of the people that are watching my content are not subscribed. So if you want to see my stuff first, before anybody sees it, before it goes viral, and you want to say, I saw this first, and you get to keep up with all my content, go subscribe. It's free. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just click a button. It helps me out. It actually pushes my video out to more people. So if you guys can go do that, that would be super helpful.
And just so everybody knows, like, there isn't just the Mike Trout video. There's tons of other stuff on there. A lot of this
there's a bunch of other magic. Stuff there.
By the way, do you prefer close-up magic or do you prefer stage magic?
So I think each one has its own, like, its own, you know, obviously it has its own advantages. Close-up magic, in my opinion, is always better because it's just, it's literally, like I said before, it's in your hands. Like, it's right in front of your face. Like, when you're on this, if someone's on a stage, you don't know, maybe there's something going on. It's hard to see. You're kind of, you know, you're a little further back. With street magic or close-up magic, it's literally like you're holding the item. Like, it's there. So it is cooler in a way. But stage magic, there's a lot more you can do on stage, meaning there's a lot more opportunities of stuff you can do. So both ways. Yeah.
All right. So we got the YouTube channel, other social medias, Facebook.
Yeah. Twitter, Instagram. I would say it's YouTube, Instagram. Instagram, you can just look up Shlomo Levenger. All my handles are Shlomo Levenger. Super easy. It's not complicated.
As it sounds, everybody.
It's just my name. Yeah. Shlomo Levenger. Instagram. LinkedIn is huge right now for me. I post a lot on LinkedIn for businesses. I do a lot of corporate events, so LinkedIn, Facebook for sure, but Facebook's probably it's basically the same content that's on Instagram. It's just automatically post to Facebook. Twitter, I'm not very active on there, but I sometimes post different stuff there. And last but not least, TikTok, which is huge right now. So if you want to go watch my TikToks, it's not me dancing, it's magic content, and it's stuff that I actually don't post. Yeah, it's stuff that I don't post anywhere else, which is kind of cool. Like, I'll post stuff on TikTok as a trial sometimes to see how it goes.
And we'll link to all of those in the show notes. You can just click on the show notes, and links to all of those will be, even the LinkedIn will be there.
Yeah, please go do it.
And where can people find if they want to book you?
You can check out my website, shlomolevenger.com. You can contact me through there. There's a whole email thing that you can do, or I think my phone number is even on there. You can go, don't spam call me, please, but you can go contact me through my website for sure. Also, if you want to just message me, private message me on social media, I usually respond to everybody. So
that's how we reached out to you.
Yeah.
By the way, last question, dream venue that you want to play.
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say maybe Radio City, I would say.
Radio City that is a good dream venue. I like that one.
That's a venue right there.
Interesting.
I've seen Magic there. I've seen Magic like there.
Vegas awesome. One.
Yeah, I mean I'm a New York guy, so like I gotta stick to my roots, you know.
There you go.
For sure.
Radio City. We see you on Radio City, Carnegie Hall, the Apollo. Yeah. I want to see you in the Apollo.
That would be pretty cool. But like I've performed in some weird places, man. I've had some weird venues.
What's the weirdest one?
I mean, I did a bris for somebody. I did a bris and then, well, no, I didn't do the bris. I did not. That sounded, that was
a very interesting thing for a magician to do.
Yeah, no, they didn't hire me to do the actual bris. They had a party after and they hired me for that.
Makes more sense.
I did a bris. I did a bris in a non-kosher restaurant, which was really weird because it was like they were basically not religious and they did, I guess they were just being traditional about it. And they booked me for that. And it was just like very like weird because it's like you're doing a bris, but at least go all the way if you're gonna do it. You know what I mean? Like do it right. So that was weird. That was really weird. Where else have I performed? I performed in some even starting out. When I started out, I was hustling to these gigs. I remember before I even had a license, before I drove, like I used to hustle. Like when I was upstate, I started out doing small day camp shows, like these like bungalow colony shows.
Yep.
Which by the way, if you're just starting out, those are the best ones to do because you'll really learn how to perform by doing those. But I used to like hitchhike like upstate, like to try to get to my gigs. Like no jokes. Like that's like real hustle right there. So
you hear these stories of the struggling artists, like the musician or the comedian or the magician. Like everybody has. I was living out the back of my car. I was hitchhiking across the country,
I was hitchhiking from Monticello to Swan Lake to do a show. You know what I mean? Like that's
regular off day for me in camp.
exactly. But yeah, listen, like, you know, you got to do, I want to just say one thing, like for anybody who's listening, who has any sort of business that they run or anybody who's into entertainment or if you're a kid who wants to get into something, whether it's music, magic, whatever it is, you gotta hustle it. And I think the right way to do it is just do everything you can. Meaning for me, it was taking all the gigs possible. It was doing every single possible gig. Like, you know, don't turn down anything. Take everything that comes your way, because the more you perform, the better you get. And that there's no shortcut. There's no easy way around it. It's literally it's just hustle and pursuing exactly what you're doing. Like, you know, you have to get better at performing, and the only way to do that is by performing. There's no shortcut. I used to think, even when I was starting out, I'm like, oh, I'm as good as these guys, or you don't realize what goes into it. You don't realize like how much experience you actually need. And me even sitting here at this point, in 5 years from now, I'll be way more experienced than I am now. So, but at least I know that, and I know that, you know, it's going to take time to get there. But I think that's very important for anybody who's starting out. There's no shortcuts. Be patient, take your time. Don't, you know, obviously try to get every opportunity you can, and try to make the most of every opportunity, but just realize like, there's a long way to go, but you'll get there. Like if you hustle it, if you do it right, you'll get there. Like it's really rewarding when you do, because you look back and you say, oh my gosh, like the amount of work I actually put in here and what I see come out of it now is incredible. And actually every step of the way you'll see results. Like you'll always see results. Like you'll see even the small things, like you'll notice and you'll be like, oh, that's really cool. And then 2 months later, you'll do something else and you'll be like, oh, that was even cooler than that. And exactly. It just builds off that. Yeah. This is like I'm sure when you started this podcast, like you know, you work your way up to get the best guest. So now here I am at your best guest.
You know what? Yes, but
and you're also at your peak now. That's it.
No, now I don't have to get my trout.
It's only downhill from here.
I will tell you, you're exactly right, because this is what it was for me with the podcast. When I started, I was just like, all right, who am I gonna get? And then at some point, I find myself at the CMHS in the press box at MetLife Stadium, sitting in between a reporter from the New York Times and a reporter from Reuters. And I'm like, wow. Oh, is this like, am I a legit person now? How did this happen? So yeah, you're exactly right.
And trust me, and you'll do cooler stuff than that down the road. Like you look back on that and you'll say like, all right, that was pretty cool, but this is way cooler, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Maybe I'll be making the CM at the CMHS in 7 years.
That would be way cooler. That would be awesome.
That would be cool.
Yeah, listen, if you do that, I'll tell you this. If you do that, I will do your private CM. I'll come down and do some magic for you. All right?
Done.
That's the deal. I'll give you that.
Shlomo Levenger, thank you so much for joining me this week. It was a real pleasure. A lot of fun.
I had a great time. Thanks so much.
My thanks to Shlomo Levenger for joining me this week. If you want to see the videos of Shlomo performing Zoom magic on me, check out our YouTube page. We uploaded one last night and another one will go up tomorrow. We'll link to them in the show notes and on our social medias. Like most of you, I've seen a lot of magic, but was never selected as a volunteer during a show. I've always thought that if I was the one being tricked, I could figure it out, or I would have to somehow be in on the trick. Nope. I am as befuddled as ever. Don't believe me? Maybe one day you too will be able to be brought in as a volunteer. Until next time, Koku.
The Jewish Living Podcast is produced by Sreli Pikus. Our theme song is The Band by A.B. Rottenberg. Follow us on Facebook at The Jewish Living Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at Jewish_living. You can also email the show at jewishlivingpodcast@gmail.com. The Jewish Living Podcast is recorded in conjunction with the Queens Jewish Link.